Hello, everybody. This is Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with Celeste Hackett. This is Kelsey Banyan bringing you a no-cal episode this week. I have been out of the picture for a couple weeks, but now it's going to be an all-girl show this week. We're bringing you a fun, interesting, and informative information about hypnosis and what's going on in the profession. How are you doing today, Celeste?
Kelsey, I can't believe it's going to be you and me. We're going to have so much fun. And you know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Isn't that right?
Oh, definitely.
Well, I'm just so happy that you're here. And, you know, where's your dad anyway? What's going on? How come he's not here too?
He's actually out enjoying the beach in Singapore, leaving us all by ourselves.
Oh, isn't that nice? So are you running the place there?
Oh, yeah. We're working really hard, down to the bone.
Yeah, but are you the one who's the boss now that Dad's away?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, he will have to come back, but for the moment, I am the sole Banyan in the office.
Woohoo! That sounds like fun. Yeah. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, I kind of figured that we talk about some stuff that has more to do with women and women in the profession, things that you have to think about that the guys don't really have to think about. Like, the male hypnotists, they just can go out there and do their thing, and they don't have to worry about what female clients will think as long as their hands are on the camera.
Well, you know, they do have to worry about the hypno blanket and the legs.
That's true, making sure that the ladies are covered.
Yeah, why don't you tell everybody about that? Because Cal always tells male hypnotists, he gives them the lecture, right, about the legs and the hypno blanket?
Oh, yeah. The making sure that your hands are where everybody can see them and covering up ladies' legs when they're wearing a skirt to make sure that there be no funny business, and that way the ladies can also be a little bit more relaxed and not worried about whether their knees are going to fall apart or whatever it is. So you just cover them up with a hypno blanket, and that way they'll feel safe and secure.
See, we don't have to worry about that ding-dong hypno blanket, do we, Kelsey?
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I usually will offer a blanket to ladies, but a lot of times I'm thinking they're cold because women tend to get colder faster than the male clients do. Do you find that?
I think so. I tend to run pretty cold, though, as well, so.
Yeah, so I usually will offer the blanket for that reason. And then it just, you know, if people are a little insecure about doing hypnosis, well, then if they have a blanket on them, sometimes they tend to be a little more secure. So for that reason, I'll often, you know, offer the blanket. For the most part, the women accept the blanket more than the women do readily anyway. But anyway, so yeah, being a female hypnotist as opposed to being a male hypnotist, there's a lot of differences, or at least a few.
Yeah, well, clearly you're a female hypnotist, but you work out of your home, don't you?
Yes, I started out in an apartment. I like to say three flights up by a dumpster because that's exactly where I was, literally. And I saw men, women, and children in that apartment. And then I did very well with hypnosis, well enough to buy a house. So now I do work out of my home. Yeah, and I see clients right out of my home. And so far, I've had absolutely no problems doing that.
Do you have any tips for ladies who are thinking about doing hypnosis and having their office right in their home, even though they might be seeing some male clients?
Yeah, you know, I've often thought about how I could make it safer for me, because it is a concern, and things can happen, and in this world, things do happen. I wonder, though, sometimes, is it really am I more likely to get harmed here in my home than in an office building? And I have a little thing to tell you. The office building that I worked at, in between the apartment and the house, I had to find a place. So I actually had an office with a doctor for a few months, probably about 5 months. And then I moved into the house. Well, recently there was a news story that there was a shooting in that office building. So I wonder sometimes, where are you safe? But a lot of, you know, the thing with women being safe when they practice generally is, you know, you got to be careful everywhere. Whether you're in an office or at home as a female hypnotist, there's some things you need to do. For instance, you want to dress appropriately. And you don't want to wear, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, no low-cut blouses. That's the biggest thing. No short skirts and stuff like that. Look professional, because right away that's going to give your client the understanding that you're in this for the business of doing it, of doing hypnosis. And the other thing that you want to do when you're a woman is, and you're a hypnotist, is you want to make sure that everything else that you do also sends the message of professionalism. And women are pretty intuitive. So right when you talk to somebody on the phone, you can usually get a feel if you are pretty intuitive. Most of the time, by the time women become hypnotists, they've developed their intuitive skills pretty well. And so, you know, you just want to kind of be listening with that third ear. And when you actually have someone over to your house or apartment, what I like to do is either have Christopher here or have a car parked out in the front. We have two cars, so it makes it look like maybe somebody else is here. And another tip is when they walk in, my hypnosis office, they'll walk in the front door, so I'm facing them when they walk in, and I say, and the hypnosis offices are over here, and I'm pointing to my left, and I say, go ahead and I'll follow you. I don't let them go behind me. I don't turn my back on a stranger. And once I get them settled in and everything, you know, typically everything is fine. You know, you'll figure out if something's wrong. At least I hope. I haven't met anybody where something was amiss yet, I haven't been in any danger yet. And so I figure it will happen in the first few minutes or the first session if there's going to be any funny business. My sister is a registered nurse, and she lives in a rural area out in the sticks in Louisiana, and she has an office out there. And what she's done is she's gotten a panic button, and it's under the desk. And my niece, her daughter, works at this office. And they have had occasion where they've had to use the panic button. So she suggested I get one of those. And it just, as soon as you hit the button, the police get the message that something has happened, and they come over right away, at least in her area. And there, you can actually get one of those to wear around your neck. Well, I've talked a lot. Sorry about that, Kelsey. It's your turn.
Well, I think the panic button's a really good idea, just because you never really know what's going to happen. And that way, it's not something that's really obvious, but just in case, it's always nice to have that extra little bit of security, especially if you've decided not to just see, like, children or women and deal with those kind of issues.
Yeah, and again, you know, you got to watch how you're dressing. I'm sort of less inclined to be worried about dressing in a sexy manner as I am more worried about dressing in a too relaxed manner because I'm at home. So I wear clothes that are very comfortable, long skirts typically. I don't actually wear a jacket when I have clients. I just wear the jacket for hypnosis, etc. Shh, don't tell your daddy. Anyway, and or your mother, because we know how she is, right? She really likes blazers.
Oh, yes. Professional dress is very important around here.
Yeah. Does she make you wear a blazer?
I have a few. I wear them mostly to see clients, but if I'm just kind of doing work on the computer, then I get to have a little bit more business casual and less business professional. But if I'm seeing clients, also because I look kind of young, it helps me look more mature. So I put on that, and I try to figure out for a while if I should wear glasses to make me look older or what it is, but we're just going to stick with the blazer for now.
Well, you know, that's something that I really wanted to ask you, Kelsey, so I'm going to turn the tables on you just a little bit here. What is it like for you, you know, being, you must be the youngest hypnotist there or one of the youngest ones. Is that so or not?
At the moment, I am the youngest hypnotist in our office, so.
Yeah, and has Cal ever had a younger hypnotist than you working for him or with him?
I believe in Minnesota there is another lady. I think she was either my age or she's a year older, a year younger, and she worked with them for a little while.
Would that have been Kristen?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was amazing. And I guess she's still practicing.
I believe she is, yeah.
So do you find that you have any problems at all of being so young doing the work?
Well, I haven't really dealt with many people who walk in and have been expecting someone a lot older, so that hasn't been much of an issue. And as it goes forward, as long as I make sure that I leave out the likes and talking about things in a very valley girl kind of way, it's not something that you really notice. Your eyes are closed in hypnosis. So as long as I'm using my voice the way that is best for the client, then they don't really have much apprehension about how old I am.
That's just really cool. By the way, I'm a fan of your blog. And the last time you wrote an entry, it was so intelligent and good. I was telling your dad this on the last Cal Banyan's hypnosis, et cetera, that it was like, you know, you were channeling him for a little bit. You just sounded so good. You're just a chip off the old block already. I bet he's really proud of you.
Well, I am doing my best to be exactly like him, as you can tell from this episode. I've got my white shirt on and my tie. But actually, I'll be sitting in session. I'll be saying things and I'll be like, I sound just like my father. Every now and I'll go, I'm just like channeling my dad.
Yeah, we've all done that. You know, you watch those Gata videos enough and you're doing the uh-huh thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I can hear it already.
And that's what you need to do at first, you know. And for all the hypnotists who wonder what we're talking about some of the five-path protocol. You've got to take a moment, if you haven't done it yet, and check out what five-path is all about. One of the things that happens when you're a five-path hypnotist is, and I don't mean to be doing a commercial for five-path, but when you do five-path work, you get this video of Cal Banyan actually working with a client. And this particular client is a difficult client. Her name is Gata. And so some of his mannerisms and some of the intonations that he uses as you're learning and you're practicing, you just tend to pick up some of the ways that he talks just because you've watched it so many times and it works. And the way that he says, you know, it just I've done that many different ways. You know, I've go, go ahead, continue. And I've done it following the way Cal has done it with Gata. And I'll tell you, it puts the client at ease.
Definitely. There's a lot of many, many practice hours and many hours of research and training and supervising that have gone into those videos and all of the trainings that he does.
Yeah, that's true. So let me ask you something. What kind of clients have you been seeing? Has it been mostly weight loss and stop smoking, or?
I've done some weight loss, some self-confidence that also has a gentleman who's coming in for, he wants to lose weight, he wants to stop smoking, he wants to feel better about himself. He wants a all-in-one package. But what we're going to be doing is focusing first on self-confidence and then moving on to weight loss. And then lastly, working with stop smoking, because that's kind of the crutch.
How did you get him to pick or to decide on what he wanted to work with first? Did you tell him that he needed to pick one? Or how did you come about doing it in that manner with the first thing first and so on?
Well, actually, part of it was our receptionist and my mother talking to him and discussing the fact that really attacking all three of those issues at one time wasn't going to be the best plan, because he is using those other distractions as coping mechanisms for some of his own problems. So first, we should address the self-confidence and those kind of self-esteem issues, and then we can move on to weight loss, which he might feel better about himself, so he won't be as concerned with the weight loss once he has a little bit more self-esteem. And then finally, the stop smoking is actually more of a crutch, so that's what he's going to as kind of his last-ditch effort. So we don't want to take his crutch away right at the beginning.
Yeah, and so are you going to, after he gets really doing well with his weight loss, is your plan to wait, say 30 days or so before you start tackling the stop smoking?
Roughly, I think. I'm not exactly sure on the logistics, but
I was just wondering. I'm pretty sure that's the way Cal taught me, or what I remember him saying. So I was just wondering if that's what you were doing, because I know that you're right there and you've got your fingers on the pulse of what the hypnogenius is thinking nowadays. And just like anybody,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I think we're going about 3 to 4 weeks minimum before starting on the next issue.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. And so you said that before we started this program, we talked a little bit. And you said you wanted to talk a little bit about forgiveness of others. Mm-hmm. And how things are different for a woman.
Well, one thing that I've noticed is that we do this thing where you hit the pillow. And I mean, these people, they've got a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, a lot of guilt to really just pump out of their bodies, and they're pumping it into those pillows. So what are you doing if you've got this big football player, basketball player kind of guy, and you're a woman trying to hold that, the pillow in place? Like, they're definitely going to be able to push it out, don't you think?
Well, tell me what you've done. What have you noticed? Have you done foo yet?
I've done some. I haven't done it with a male client yet, so it was a little bit easier to keep it in place, because it was a female client, and I like to think that I'm pretty strong, but I have been able to keep it in place. But I've noticed that if there's a lot of emotion going on, they can really pound that thing out.
Oh, I know. And I think, honestly, some of the women are as strong as the men are. So if you're handling some of these women, I mean, they work out too, right? A lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them are really strong, but they know that they need to be hitting the pillow. So they're aiming for that. But the pillow does kind of move around. So, you know, I'm constantly pushing it or holding onto it so it doesn't fall off, whether it's a male or female client. Do you hold on to the pillow while they're pounding it?
Yes, and I try to keep my fingers well out of their reach.
Yes, because you know Jerry Kine broke his hand that way, right?
Oh, he did?
Or had his hand broken that way.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, he did a video. He was working with an alcoholic, and he didn't have a pillow, so he decided he was going to let the guy hit him in the hand. You know, just keep punching his hand, and he was going to use his hand for a pillow because he had built up the guy, helped the guy to build up his anger so much. It's like, I can't go find a pillow now. It's all right there, right?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess that's the cost for being really good at what you do.
Yeah, you're going to have to check out that video of him getting his hand broken because it's pretty interesting. He keeps shaking his hand like ow, you know? And I guess we should explain a little bit to people who are tuning in what we mean about somebody hitting the pillow. We do a phase called forgiveness of others. We call it FOO for short, because we find that the more emotions that you can neutralize inside, the better someone is in their life, especially when they're doing the too much behaviors, like too much drinking or too much smoking or too much eating. You want to neutralize as much internal negative emotion as you can. And most people are carrying around a significant amount of anger that they're really unaware of. And so we always include a session where we tackle any latent anger that's inside of someone so that they can just feel more at ease and more peaceful in their life. Because what happens is if that old anger is triggered, then all of a sudden they're not as in control. A lot of people eat when they're angry. And a lot of times anger, you know, that's still inside can lead to frustration and depression, the same old anger rolling around that they haven't gotten resolve on, you see. And so in this particular phase of the hypnosis work that we do, which is an advanced technique that a lot of hypnotists do, and you can definitely learn as a five-pather, we at some point have the client, you know, after we talk to them and do certain techniques to help them to build up the anger, we put a pillow in their lap and we have them hit the pillow. There's a lot of little mini techniques within this technique to cause somebody to finally get to the point to where they hit the pillow. Isn't that right, Kelsey?
Oh, yeah. You got to build that up.
Yeah, there's a lot of little things that you do. And so once they start hitting the pillow, you know, if sometimes they don't hit it with a lot of strength, you know, but sometimes they really do. And that's what Kelsey's talking about, because they can hit the pillow so hard. I've had some people hit it and it flies off their lap, or hit the pillow and they shake their hand because they hurt their hand. Some of the ladies that have long fingernails will hit so hard their fingernails will kind of dig into their hands. And they're so mad, and you know, that they're not feeling a lot of things that's going on sometimes. Just like if you're running, you know, really fast, or you're doing some kind of sport and the adrenaline is going on, you might not be able to feel some of the stuff that's happening. And so sometimes, you know, the pillow is moving and they don't even know it. And so you have to keep that pillow on their lap. Now, the men, they can be very strong. And to be honest, I haven't had any of them so strong, except for when I had my old pillow. The perfect pillow, or the right pillow, is important too. A more dense one works better than a more shallow one, because they tend to not hit it as hard if it's not that dense, because the hitting is going through to their lap and they're hitting their leg. And for some people, they're very aware of that. But I guess to answer your question, it's not really an issue. You just keep moving the pillow back in front of their hand. But you said something about men in the instant induction are pressing on the hand too. Didn't you say something or had some question about that?
When I was going through my training, a couple of the girls in my class were really, really petite. So we'd be practicing our instant induction to press on my hand, and the guys are afraid to press on them. I mean, they don't want to hurt them, but at the same time, the girls are like, just press a little bit harder, press a little bit harder. And then suddenly they're like, oh, we can't keep them up. Okay, close your eyes, sleep. Just because they couldn't keep it up anymore. So is that really a concern? Or
the funny thing is you have your hand and you say, press on my hand, close your eyes. And so they start pressing. And then what I do is I put this hand under. And so with two hands, they can press hard. And if my elbow is resting on the chair, my hand's not going down. I had one guy at the end of the session ask me, he said, man, you're strong. How are you so strong? And I said, well, it's just hypno strength, sir. But yeah, there's a, you can do like that and have another hand for support and then move your hand out. So I haven't had their manly strength be much of a problem. What's more of a problem is the wimpy pressing, you know, because you got to be able to have a little surprise. But when you move your hand out, they've got to be a little bit shocked. That's important, so you get that instant induction, and you know, so that you can say sleep at just that right moment, and they'll drop down into hopefully somnambulism, at least deeper than they were. And so what I typically do if they're not pressing very hard is I say, okay, come on, you can do a little bit better than that. And I might kind of tap them on the shoulder, you know, come on, come on, come on, a little bit harder than that. Press up against my power. I'll start moving my hand up. A lot of times also the ladies will press like this with the tips of their fingers, and I'll just say, okay, now that's good, now stop pressing. You know, I might do that, and then I'll say, now this time I want you to use all your might and your whole hand, and then they'll do a better job. And you just keep coaching them until they do it to the point that you think it's going to be significant enough that when you move your hand, there'll be that surprise or that jolt. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, that's great. That's definitely a nice tip for a beginner.
And when you go back and you watch this video, Kelsey, you'll see me actually using my hands to show how it's done, because you're just hearing my voice. You're in Tustin, California, listening to me on the phone talk right now, and I'm listening to you on the phone here in Plano, Texas, so you can't really see that I'm actually talking with my hands. I should have been an Italian. They say Italians talk with their hands, but wait a minute. I'm Cajun. We do too.
Well, I have a pretty good imagination, so I can imagine your hands moving around and pressing and pulling and all of those things.
Your dad said we have to do a dumb hypnotist trick, and then we're going to be done, unless you have any other questions. Because it's already, we're like 25 minutes into this thing, or maybe about 22 minutes.
Oh, no. Well, we are kind of chatty. What can you say?
Isn't it fun?
Oh, it's so much fun. Well, I think the dumb hypnotist trick that I was going to bring up, you touched on a teeny bit earlier, which is appropriate dress for female hypnotists, because it's so easy out there to just go and get some big frumpy sweater that it looks too casual, or you can go out and find one of those really low, really tight, really short outfits, and there's not really anything in between. What do you suggest?
Well, what do you mean there's not anything in between?
Well, I'm just saying that sometimes you can go to the store and you'd be like, why are all of these things for nighttime? What can I wear for professional?
You know, if you look around, there's a lot of t-shirt type shirts with, you know, a fabric that's nice that you can slip under a blazer, a longer skirt, pants. You know, you just don't want to show cleavage or wear a bra where it's... it looks like you don't have one on or something like that, or show your legs. And I think that, I don't know for certain about this, how do you really know without actually talking to someone or even having the opportunity to explore the subconscious mind, but let me ask you this. What do you think would be the reason why a female hypnotist would dress in a sexually provocative manner?
Well, it probably comes down to, and this is of course just speculation, but coming down to her not having enough confidence in her abilities and therefore wanting to distract the clients from really expecting too much from her as a professional.
Or just she feels like, and that's kind of what I think possibly is going on here too, or, you know, she just feels like she needs this to attract clients. Well, guess what? You don't. And if you wear these kind of clothes, you're going to attract the wrong kind of clients if you attract any at all. You'll probably attract men who are more interested in looking at your breasts and your legs. You know, you're certainly not going to attract women if you're dressed too provocatively. And those are the ones that most often are buying the sessions. We see probably more women than men in this business as clients. At least I do. What about you, Kelsey? What about you guys up there?
It's predominantly female, definitely.
Yeah, I have noticed that since I guess maybe a year and a half now, I've been getting more males, and sometimes I have had male, female, probably pretty balanced, but still overall, more females are likely to buy hypnosis or do anything where they are actually improving themselves and kind of looking at themselves a little deeper. They just seem to be a little bit more introspective as a whole, and I hope I'm not biting myself. Well, you know what I mean. I hope I don't offend anyone. But then again, hey, Cal goes out on those limbs, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Kelsey, I guess we should wrap up this hypnosis, etc., huh?
I guess. We've kind of run a little bit long, but it's so nice to just get to chat with you a little bit and see the female perspective of things.
Yeah, well, this has been fun, and I was a little nervous at first, but just like you, but it's been really, really fun, and I hope we get to do another one. Are we going to get to do another one?
I'm not sure. I'll double check with the tech genius that we also have.
Okay, good. All right, well, then I'm just going to wrap things up. I'm Celeste Hackett. My business is Family First Hypnosis in Plano or Dallas, Texas. And my website is familyfirsthypnosis.com. Be looking pretty soon. I hope to have training classes for hypnotists. So if you want to be a hypnotist, go to my website, check out the training page. I'm hoping and praying that my licensing comes through and we can have hypnosis training coming up in February 2008. Kelsey, take it away.
That's great. Well, thanks for being with us. I'm Kelsey Banyan. This was Hypnosis Etc. You saw this on calbanyan.com. Make sure to check us out at www.hypnosiscenter.com, www.calbanyan.com, and on the banyanhypnosismall.com. Have a great day. Signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.